This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander.
This is FUBAR, FUBAR Radio.
We're going to look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. And we're going to get into Twitter news shortly with our newsreader, Sebastian, and see what's been trending worldwide. It's been a pretty big week for me. I did something this week that I've been planning on doing for about, I've wanted to do for years, and I've thought seriously about it for the last year. Why are you shaking your head?
Because it sounds like it's important, but it's not. This isn't important. You know it's not. It's nothing.
And there's a survey, you know, everyone has like a base happiness, don't they? Like a base happiness level. And most of the time, materialistic things can boost it, but you'll always revert back to that sort of, for me, it's probably a 6.5, 7 base. That reason to be happy person, I guess. Now, obviously, things can affect that, but generally, you sort of, even lottery winners after 3 months, they sort of go back to that.
Yeah, you
but I genuinely think I've stepped it up 0.5 permanently.
Because of a dishwasher.
It came this week, got it fitted, did a bit of DIY myself. I had to go to B&Q 3 times in one day.
Surely all the parts come with it, though.
Yeah, so it comes ready to go, but you've got to... So then I had to put it in the sort of cupboard, drill through the back, and then I had to fix a waste pipe to the U-bend, so I had to get a new U-bend, and then I had to attach it to... I had to put a splitter on the washing machine to get it to fit. Now, there's a lot of YouTube involved, a lot of chatting to the guy at B&Q. I made a mistake. I put it on the wrong thing, and I didn't realise. A lot of plumbers listening, or people that know what they're talking about. The seal, when you attach it to a pipe, once you've done it once, if you then take it off, it really weakens it.
Right.
So I went, got it wrong. Switched it over later on. Put it back on. Turned it on.
Water everywhere.
Everywhere.
You didn't say that to me before. I didn't know that happened.
And the funniest thing was, I went back to B&Q just before it closed, and the guy was laughing because I came in with a wet T-shirt.
Yeah.
But I walked.
Change your T-shirt.
No, because I did. I knew I was so. You know when you want something so badly that I couldn't wait another day. So it was about to shut. So I sprinted in, and as I was walking up to him, he started laughing his head off, and he went, "Another splitter, mate." Thought it was hilarious.
That is great.
But it has. I just love it. I just love the. I know you're sick of me talking about this, but
well, no, I didn't know whether you were just like, you know, hamming it up. But no. The other day when we were out somewhere with a load of our colleagues. Somebody had arrived late and I caught up with them and she goes, "Oh, geez, Ollie hasn't stopped banging on about his dishwasher." I wasn't even there. And she goes, "Oh, yeah, Ollie's told me all about the dishwasher." I was like, "Geez, you've spoken to everyone about it." As if
I just spent so much time washing up and now I've opened up this new time in my day. And it's genuinely, I found it quite liberating. And to the point where...
Look, I can understand that it's nice, but it's just the way you talk about it as if... Like, my granddad obviously grew up he didn't have much in his home when he was a kid. So a dishwasher as a 78-year-old is, like, mind-blowing. But you have the same attitude, yet you'd have probably grown up with one in your own home.
But no, I don't have one in my house, and I've lived there
for
2 years.
It's like it's like it's a new invention. It was invented yesterday to you.
My girlfriend came round, and... She walked in the kitchen last night and I was cooking dinner. I thought, I'll just wait for her to, you know.
What?
Spot it.
Spot it.
Have a, you know.
Now who's clocking that? Who's going, "Oh, a new dishwasher"? No one cares.
She didn't say anything. She sat down and had dinner and I thought, that's a bit. So I brought it. I was like, "So have you seen it?" She was like, "Oh, no, I forgot. Did you? Yeah, right, okay." It's like, "We're going to have a look." She's like, "Do I need to?" I'm like, "Yes, you need to."
Wow, how exciting. She's going around to her boyfriend's to check out his new... Oh, wait, where are you going tonight, Kate? Oh, just... I'm going around to Ollie's.
I was actually a bit upset.
I'm just going to see his new dishwasher. Oh, he sounds like a barrel of laughs. Jesus. We'll come to work and Ollie will go, I left the robot on. As if like it's some sort of like little slave to you.
Yeah. You don't have to be like, "Oh, you do the dishes. You have to sort of compromise with it. You don't go, "Oh, you do the dishwashers, I'll cook dinner." No, just do the dishes, mate. I'm going out to the pub. So that's been my week. While I was doing that, you went off to the Arkiva Awards.
Yeah, I went to the Arkivas.
These are like the, in radio, you kind of have the equivalent of the Oscars and the BAFTAs would be Sony Awards are the Oscars, Arkivas are sort of the BAFTAs.
No, I'd say Arkivas are less than that because everyone who can apply for the Oscars can apply for the BAFTAs, whereas that's not the case with Sony's and with commercial radio.
Oh, it's just commercial radio.
So there's no BBC involved.
Actually, I wonder if FUBAR could enter for the Arkivas, couldn't they?
And the Sony's.
And the Sony's, yeah. I was just wondering whether they would go for the Arkivas, but yeah, they could.
No, they could go for
it. You don't have to be governed by Ofcom to enter the Arkivas.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a funny night because I think that it was bad, but it was just, the problem is that a lot of people in the room are going to be very experienced, a lot of management, a lot of board members, a lot of people very high up at the stations. You've still got the excitable young people there and you've got presenters and things, but they're all that side of the rope. Does that make sense? Like everyone there, if it was the general public, they'd probably be going wild for things. But for example, the entertainment on the night wasn't like Madonna or, you know, it was like Aston Merigold from JLS.
Can he still do a backflip?
Well, that's the first thing I said. Is that the one that backflips? I was like, is he the one that does the backflip? And
no. Is that the one with the fantastic vocals? Is that the one with the platinum album?
Is that the one that could do a backflip? It is literally like that. But the problem is because you've got a room full of people who work in the industry who deal with these sorts of artists, and Aston Merigold is very low down on the pecking order, that instead of that being the point of, oh, everyone back to your seats, someone's about to perform, that was the point of which people go, oh, brilliant, there's an act on, he's probably coming in next Thursday, so I'm going to go for a drink. So the times that there was the least amount of people at their tables is when acts were on, because no one wanted to watch them. No one cared. And none of them were big enough for anyone that side of the rope, everyone within the radio industry, to really care about watching.
Because when we went to the Sony Awards, what was really funny is that we were sat with our boss and we walked in and we were sat about a table away from the stage. Mm. And our boss went,
this is it.
Brilliant, this is it, guys. We've definitely, they will, the winners, they'll put next to the stage so you don't have to walk a long way. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Chris Evans won't hang around,
right.
You know. So we came out. At this point, I'm the most cynical, I'm pretty much as cynical as they come, but I'd let the atmosphere get to me.
You let it get to you. Yeah.
And Robbie Williams came out, big act, and I'm not a fan of Robbie Williams, but he was a foot away, serenading people. It was fantastic. It was exciting. Big celebrities there. I got caught up in the moment. When we didn't win, I almost went, hold up, no.
Excuse me.
No, but you put us here, mate. We're...
The winners come from the back of the room and are clapping them for 10 minutes as they walk past us. Yeah. It's an odd atmosphere, though. And you know, Robbie Williams was at the Sony's. Like, there was, like, Aston Merigold from JLS and Nathan Sykes, formerly from The Wanted. I mean, that was as good as it got. I mean, you've got a load of radio industry people that are used to those sorts of people. They will just go to the loo and go for a pint.
And also, the thing about that is, because it's commercial as well, there's this constant kind of like seedy backdrop of making money. Like Aston Merigold's there because his single's been released and he wants all of the radio stations to play his...
Well, that's the
it's
thing.
Just all of it sickly, isn't
the,
it?
The artist, I think it was Nathan Sykes from The Wanted. His new song is genuinely good. I actually think it's a really good song. But, you know, he came out and he goes, I'd just like to thank all of the programmers out there that are playing my single, and it's all very
off,
it's very corporate.
No,
it's
horrible.
Like, it's not very humble.
Yeah, it's like inviting someone to play a corporate golf game.
Yeah.
It's like you don't even like me, you just want me to spend money with you.
I know,
you seedy little corporate. Anyway,
cynical bastards we are.
First time joining us, we take a look back at the big news stories that have been happening over the last week, and there have been some corkers. Seb, our news reader, is going to be here. We'll start with what's trending worldwide in Twitter news next.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, stranger to my eyes, strumming my pain with his fingers.
Seven Simon here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. And we always like to stick our finger in the air, lick the finger, see which way the wind's going, or check Twitter to see what's been trending.
I think that Twitter is better than the finger in the air.
Yeah, what's been trending worldwide. So what are the big hashtags this week then?
Yeah, I've licked my finger and here we go. Hashtag this is a coup to start with. This went absolutely viral on the early hours of Monday morning. This is all to do with Greece, as we speak, because obviously this is pre-recorded. We don't want to shatter the illusion of the listener. We're recording this earlier in the week, so who knows what's happened at the moment right now?
None of us could be here.
Yeah, that's
what? Something awful could have happened.
What do you mean none of us could be here?
Oh, then again, no one would be listening. So
no,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, who knows? God knows what's going to happen in Greece, where obviously, you know, it's like the longest, it's like the political, economic soap opera equivalent of EastEnders, isn't it? This has been rumbling on for ages. And so on Monday morning, in the early hours, after like 24 hours of talks, just all these like bigwigs in this room deciding what's going to happen to Greece, they came to an arrangement. So basically, they're going to give Greece a bit more money for literally
3 years, was it?
Yeah, for 3 years. Literally the most painful. And when we talk about austerity, you know, we talk about in this country, don't we? Or you're going to have to work like 1 year longer and we're going to chop, you know, some of your benefits off just by a couple of £1,000. In Greece, we are literally talking about people being, you know, being driven to A, suicide, B, into conditions worse than, you know, in the Great Depression in the US in the 1930s. And on top of that, even more of this is to come. And people taking to Twitter this week, in all seriousness, saying, what the hell is going on when we've got these group of politicians and nobodies deciding upon the fate of people from a different country and ruling that actually, you know what, we don't care what you've said in your elections and that referendum they held the other week when you were in Greece, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was in Athens.
Yeah, saying, we don't care about that. More pain, more austerity, more, you know, changes to your working conditions and taking away your pensions and taking away this service and all that kind of thing.
So the referendum was pointless?
The referendum was pointless. They've ended up getting more pain than they had originally been offered. And worst of all, of course, is what the changes they're making in terms of certain taxes, which are going to hit the one thing Greece is actually going for it, which is tourism.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, that's something that was abundantly clear when I was in Athens, is that I probably spoke to more or saw more American and other European-based people than Greeks, because it was just thriving off tourism there.
Yeah, and
of course still living off the legacy of the incredible Euro 2004 victory, which no one saw coming. I mean, geez, that was incredible.
And the Olympics that came under budget. but in all seriousness, some of those islands, because you went to sort of the remote parts
of
Greece, didn't you? Some of those islands.
I happened to go to Andros when it was in the news on the BBC. By complete fluke, they had the mayor of Andros on there. And Andros is seen as a sought-after place because it has very laid-back tax.
Wow.
Pretty laid-back tax sort of...
let's just say you it might not anymore.
A few people smoking cigars in ill-fitted suits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, things are going to change there. But what the serious point is, if you go for a holiday now in Greece, and which, you know, thousands of us do every single year from this country, you know, the cost to us is going to be absolutely skyrocketed up.
What costs?
In terms of VAT on certain goods, restaurants, that kind of thing. At the moment, some of those islands you were on, they weren't having to pay that.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I was eating like a king. And very humble food, but very, very, like, you know, organic, real food on the island, and eating till we burst off maybe €8 each.
Yeah, well,
so a fiver, and I was having eight courses.
That's like, not going to be the case any longer in future. And the question is that going to put people off? That is going to put people off and price people out going to Greece, which is the one thing they've actually got going for it in terms of trying to bring some cash in.
My sister's getting married there in September,
and good luck with that.
The hotel rang her the other day and said, "Hi there, Mrs. Gallant. Yes, about your wedding. All fine, but we would like you to pay in cash. So
the whole thing,
So if you could just bring that with you, that would be great."
Well, this is the one thing that I found quite funny is on the TV, it obviously sounds scary. Like, there is no cash. You won't be able to get cash out of machines. But of course, most places take card.
Well, I said to my sister,
"You're absolutely fine."
I couldn't help but...
Contactless technology, Seb, it's great. No one needs cash anyway. In Athens, everyone's just paying on card everywhere.
But I couldn't help but feel they were just, you know, capitalising on the bit of instability and media publication so they could be paid in cash. I just said to her, "Just say no."
Yeah.
She's like, "Oh, but they've..." And I said, "No. Of course they're going to ask for cash." As I just say, they're not going to take a cancellation of a wedding because it's so much money, you know, 10 grand or whatever it is. I said, "What?" And then my sister's fiancé went, "Oh, I'll just get those money bags and strap it to my stomach." I said, "No one's strapping 10 grand to their stomach and going through customs. I'm saying that now."
Yeah, but bad news for Greece overall. It's actually on the list of places people want to go on holiday has slipped below Bognor.
Wow, Bognor is above Greece.
It's still above Tunisia. Moving on to the next one. This is hashtag a bit of sports. Hashtag Serena Slam. Did you watch this? Wimbledon,
did.
Of course.
It was an odd climax to the final, wasn't it? Because the ball was nearly called out. So in the big euphoric moment where they normally drop to their knees and start crying and the crowd go mental, everyone went, what? Is it over? And it just sort of went silent for
the
a minute.
The only negativity I saw around... the biggest thing I saw on Twitter about Serena was a negative one. It was where J.K. Rowling bowled in because of how she looked at the awards after, you know, they have the awards and everything afterwards.
Yeah, the Wimbledon dinner.
I don't know if you saw the pictures of her, but she is a broad, strong lady. Well, she's probably one of the strongest female tennis players in the world.
She was serving 125 miles an hour,
people were so horrible about her on Twitter.
There was a lot of people saying she looked like a man. And that's where J.K. Rowling bowled in and said, my husband definitely doesn't look like this, and then just showed some incredible pictures of Serena, like, you know, in dresses at film events and stuff, looking incredibly feminine and very beautiful.
Mm. But it's just the kind of that really old-fashioned thing of that people love the idea of watching her playing tennis. Go, oh, she's an amazing tennis player. Then as soon as she's in like a dinky little dress, they're like, well, a bit manly for me.
I know.
It's like, well, where are you?
That's a bit harsh, isn't it, I think?
Sort of double standards, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, she's won... Serena Slam, just to explain, is she now holds all... She's won all four...
I thought she still had to win US Open.
Well, no, to win it in the calendar year.
Oh, right.
But she won it last year as well, so she's
so
currently...
So one of last year, three of this. Yeah. So she's...
She holds all four major titles at the moment.
That is remarkable. I think she's only three off the all-time women's record as well.
Two or three.
Yeah.
Which is the...
She's on 21 Grand Slam titles.
It'll be the best
crazy.
Ever. She won her first in 1999.
She won her first major?
In 1999.
She must have been like... 17, 18 or something.
So now, now in her mid-30s.
That is that might never be replicated.
The only downside, of course, is the problem. If you ever watch or listen it, and we've talked about this, it's the noise, it's the grunting and the screeching and the
screaming.
I think
they almost expect it of themselves now. Maria Sharapova is, of course, one of the worst of this, but it is a bit off-putting. Like I listened on the radio a lot. I don't mind it on the TV, but when you're listening on the radio, it is so frustrating. I just cannot be dealing with any of it. The guys managed not to, so I don't see why the girls should. It's odd.
Well done to her, and well done.
Well done, Serena.
She's really going to appreciate me saying well done to her. And finally, #Sunday.
Yeah, so this is the trading laws potentially being changed permanently. I think if you remember back over the Olympics, they relaxed them for about a month, was it?
Yeah, during the course of the games.
And it just seemed to make sense, the idea of... When are people off work now? We have like a multicultural society, right? Where some people, what I'm saying is that originally it was because of Christian beliefs that we had the Sunday trading laws in place. You go to church. But now, if you look at how many Christian people there are devout across the UK that don't want to go to Tesco's when they've lost something on a Sunday afternoon, it's minimal. So it just seems ludicrous that in this modern day and age, we still can't go and get food on a Sunday night.
To be honest, as a 9-year-old, I saw this coming. I remember really vividly my mum sort of gently ribbing me and laughing at me when I suggested popping to the shop on a Sunday. She went, "It's Sunday." Like, literally, like... It's Sunday. She'd like say like I had no common sense because I thought that why wouldn't it be open on a Sunday? And even then, my logic was, but it's the weekend, everyone's off, so surely like if you're a high street store, there's 2 days a week that everyone is off walking down the street, and that's Saturday and Sunday. Surely you're the one that opens on a Sunday. It'd make perfect sense. So have your days off on a Monday and a Tuesday. A lot of restaurants, of course, now. Loads of people go out to eat on a Sunday. A lot of restaurants will close Monday, Tuesday, and their busiest is Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And what's really
surely
annoying...
Surely shops should follow suit.
You turn up, and there are so many people in there, stacking shelves. Like they've still got full staff on, doing stuff. No, I can't get... No, I just need a pint. No.
No.
No, why?
Sunday. Oh,
it's the holy day, isn't it?
It's a tradition.
Yeah, but some of those shops you can actually go in because smaller shops are open most of the day.
Yeah, they charge you more. They capitalise on it. And
so it's the price actually you're unhappy about.
Do they actually?
No, I just want to go to the full... Yeah. A small, a Tesco Extra or a Sainsbury's Local or whatever you want to... Whichever one you go to. The items in there are more expensive than they are in the main store.
So Tesco's have different price ranges of the same items. Yeah. That can't be right.
No,
I'm not sure that is right.
No, it's 100% right. And they argue that the cost per item in that store to sell it is more expensive because it's a smaller store, scales of economy.
Can they do that? That doesn't make sense.
They do whatever they want.
I don't know, but the argument,
still buying,
just
it.
Say the argument though on the other side is that Sunday is, should we have a day actually where we don't think about shopping and, you know, consumerism, yeah, okay, and all that kind of thing, because actually what it does, it forces you to actually do other things that you probably wouldn't do because you haven't got that choice.
What, like going to the pub?
Well, possibly, or just spend time doing something as a family, going out somewhere, you know, just not doing your regular thing as you would any other day of the week. And it's not religious or...
But then again, I just think give people the freedom of choice.
Well, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Like, if shops could still be open, but you could still do something else.
I'm going to have a roast with my family. No, you can't because it's shut.
You should have planned ahead. Yeah, I'm all for this.
I'm all for being relaxed, 100%.
Well, it looks like it's going to be, so...
Great, yeah. Is that three? We've all voted for it, so it will happen, yeah? Are you on board?
That's how it
works.
That's
3 for 3, so that it's definitely going to happen. Great.
Yeah.
Ollie and Si on FUBAR Radio.
Let me hold you for the last time. It's the last chance to feel again. But you broke me. Now I can't feel anything. When I love you, ring so untrue. I can't even convince myself. When I'm speaking, it's the voice of someone else. Oh, it tears me up. I try to hold on, but it hurts too much. I try to forgive, but it's not enough to make it all okay. You can't play on broken strings. You can't feel anything that your heart don't want to feel. I can't tell you something that ain't real. Oh, the truth.
Playing house in the ruins of us. Running back through the fire when there's nothing left to say. It's like chasing the very last train when it's too late. Oh, it takes. Yeah.
to feel again.
This is FUBAR
giving radio the
Simon
finger.
Said here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. An unusual thing happened to me in the gym, actually. And at first I thought it was really funny, and then afterwards I just felt really sad about it. And
do you want to explain this with some dolls? What's happening? We're all friends here.
I'm going to point exactly where it hurt.
Which muscle was it?
So, one of my friends is a personal trainer, and he had a new client this week, and some of the other guys in the gym, and if you don't go to the gym, there's like a weird hierarchy. There's like, you work behind the desk, and then you like work on the floor, and then you can like be promoted to like be an assistant to people that are at the gym, and then of course you've got the personal trainers that are like fully trained at the top. And some of the lads have been looking after this old guy who was in there, and I was stood by the desk where all the guys were chatting together, and my friend was about to take on this client, and the other lads, they are quite laddie. They're young, work in fitness, like boozing at the weekend. Am I giving a good sort of
your kind
stereotype
of
there?
Ollie Gallant material.
As I went up there, there was a lot of chat of the stag do they'd been on at the weekend. Yeah, this sort of thing. And I felt bad because at first I found myself laughing because they said, oh, have you got Roger? They go, it's fucking brilliant. He's got Alzheimer's. They go, it's fucking brilliant, mate. They go, just do one routine. Just do it every week because he never fucking remembers.
Oh, my God.
And I was laughing because it was so... They were like, couldn't believe their luck. They're like, it's fucking brilliant. Literally, mate, you could just put him on one exercise, walk around the room, go back on the... You know, put him on the fucking spin bike, walk around the room, stick him back on there. You got no fucking idea, mate. And they all laughed. They're all howling. And I was laughing along because I thought this was really, really funny.
Wow.
And he turned up and he was walking up the stairs with his wife. And James...
How old was he?
I would say late 60s, early 70s. Oh, my dad turned 70 this year.
Poor old guy.
And James is really great. He's a very empathetic guy. Well, you know James. Mm. Nice guy. Couldn't have a better guy to sort of look after him, really. And his wife sort of sent him off into the gym and sort of watched from afar, obviously very concerned about him. And there's a massive link between exercise and the stability of Alzheimer's. Uh-huh. And so this is obviously, they're following doctor's advice and getting him to sort of work out. And James, and afterwards I thought, I was looking at his wife and I thought, fuck me. Imagine the person you love just slowly forgetting everything that you've done together.
Yeah.
Just like...
That is dark.
Like, starts to forget the times that you met, or that holiday you had in Greece, or where the kids live. Like, and that slow, degenerative... And I just felt like...
You laughed at him.
And like, yeah, no, I did.
You laughed at him.
I did.
Didn't you?
Isn't that terrifying, though, that that can happen just from the inside out? I know it sounds like a stupid realisation.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's on the tin, isn't it? Mm. You know, we know what Alzheimer's is. But
and, like, the thing was, like, so I had this, like, sentimental, like, moment where I was looking at her and looking at him and just thinking, kind of made me appreciate a lot of things. And I slowly sort of panned back past him as my eyes focused off her, back to the desk. All the lads are, like, still laughing.
No
yeah,
way.
They're just like, they're like, get him on the spin bike, mate. They're like doing cycling gestures. Just fucking.
No, that's awful.
But they're 18 and 19 and they don't think like that, do they? But it's not, you know.
Yeah,
they don't want, they're not upsetting anyone. They're not genuinely malicious people.
When's your level of empathy going to carry through to my asthma, though?
But you're fine. It's not degenerative.
No, I know it's not, but you
It could
you know,
be passed off as a bit lazy, bit asthmatic.
Yeah, but if I feel like, you know, you were laughing, then you saw him and you saw that he had Alzheimer's. I feel like if you saw me have an asthma attack, you'd suddenly stop laughing.
Simon's...
Do you not reckon that's true?
I think we should give it a try and just test it out.
Simon's sensitive about this because there was an advert. They're looking for the new... what's his name?
Harrison Ford.
They're looking for a new Harrison Ford because they're going to redo a part of his role in Star Wars as an independent film. So put an advert out there. And I said to Simon, would you, I said, you know, are you going to apply for this? And Simon's like, well, no, of course I'm not. Like, I know that I'm not the next Harrison Ford. And I said, can you imagine that sequence in Indiana Jones, you know, and the balls, you know, the balls running down the tunnel. Yeah. And it's really clever because the music builds, it's really loud, he's running, there's loads of cut shots, but it's really clever what they do. Then they suddenly cut to a camera outside the tunnel where it's just silent and you hear the birds tweeting and the door shuts. But instead of like,
instead of me escaping at the last second, I just...
no one comes out, the door just shuts. That's it.
It caught up with me because I had an after attack. They should make an NHS advert out of that. Just like, always carry an inhaler. Don't get caught by the boulder in the film. Don't be the one that gets caught by the boulder in the film. NHS, just like, you know, the strap line just comes on the screen.
Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was wearing a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold. What in the world does your company take me for? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel and a stunner, on the merry way saying, baby, what you gonna? Looking down the barrel of a hot metal 45, just another way to survive.
Fubar Radio.
The last 7 days on planet Earth. Ollie Seven Simon here. And
you said that like Tearly Tom and Tiny in like Tots TV there.
Yeah.
Well, Ollie Seven Simon. I like that.
Yeah. Okay, well, we could keep that up as some
Maybe
sort
we should
of
have a theme song.
Brand.
Mm.
Actually,
no, I was last. Scrap that. Carry on.
One of my favourite stories of the week comes from Mexico.
Where, sorry?
Mexico.
Mexico, that was.
Yeah, this is great. This is like Shawshank Redemption meets The Great Escape, isn't it?
Doesn't... You right there, Simon? So,
yeah, have an asthma attack quietly, please.
There's some bits coming off this microphone. I think I just choked on a bit.
Ray Peacock was breathing into that earlier.
Oh, sorry.
That's horrible.
That was really horrible.
That's all right. Let's just skin those things as well.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Look. Just look at all that.
All right, can we carry on now?
Yeah.
Anyway, over in Mexico, they've got a bit of drama themselves. Nothing to do with a microphone.
Dusty mic.
Yeah. No, not to do with a microphone. Only a drug baron escaping from prison for the second time by using a mile-long tunnel.
Wow, Shawshank style.
It is Shawshank style.
My favourite thing about this case, we into a bit more, was when he interviewed the head of security at the prison. This is about 5 years ago, and they said, look, you know, when he escaped once, they sort of put him back in, and they said, what, you know, are you worried about him escaping again? And his statement was, there is zero risk of that happening.
Well, that's too much confidence.
But what I love is when he opens the newspaper in the morning.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
this is Joaquin Guzman, or Shorty. As he's known.
Yo, Shorty! He's always like a sidekick, isn't he? In
why do I get
films?
A feeling he's
Yo,
not...
Yo, Shorty!
He's not short. The only thing that's short is probably his temper.
Yeah, or perhaps to stay outside of jail, who knows? Because we're recording this, so he might have been captured, for all we know, true. By the time this goes out. Anyway, yeah, Shorty escaped over the weekend. Last seen in the showers over the weekend.
Right.
He managed to get out. He has previously broken out of prison.
Was that via a tunnel?
Back in the 1990s, he escaped via a laundry basket.
No way!
He did.
Oh, my God.
I think he takes, which was from The Wind in the Willows.
So
he just
good.
Takes his inspiration from popular culture but for his prison breaks.
This guy is a serious man. I mean, they're now saying that he's one of the biggest criminals. He controls the majority of the drug network across Mexico and the borders.
And he's not the one that we did that through the keyhole with a few months ago, is it?
Do you remember that? No, I don't think so.
The guy that had a gun museum and he had plaques next to each gun of the people that he killed,
no,
all individually lit.
Another friendly Mexican.
Fine.
Yeah, he was serving 20...
That's Tawley.
He was serving...
Tawley's roommate.
He was serving 20 years for drugs offences. And what's remarkable about this is this tunnel had stairs in it. It was fully ventilated.
It had air conditioning.
A mile long. And 18 prison guards have been arrested in connection with this. So clearly he had...
They had
all
a
these,
motorbike to
he
get had, him out of the tunnel.
He had all these people under his thumb.
How
working
did he get
for
them under his thumb?
At
he must have
prison.
Got people outside to bribe them all.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, this guy, it's above the law though, isn't it? He controls the majority of the borders. Think of the money.
It's corruption, isn't it? It's people are corrupt. Or not necessarily, off their own greed, but maybe because they've been bribed or they've been offered money in order to let something slip. Do you know what I mean?
Imagine this,
back alley dollar.
Imagine this. You're in
Shorty.
You're in the local pub. Okay, let's say that you do live in Mexico and that you're a prison guard. Let's take you out of middle life, middle class Warwickshire. Let's put you in Mexico. You're drinking a beer with some lime in it at a bar.
A Corona.
There's lots of ladies.
Corona's a Mexican.
Yeah, Corona. So you're with. You got your Corona. You're still in the relationship you are now. You live with Hayley. She's just got a better tan.
Right, lovely, yeah.
And a bit more coke.
You're out in a bar, you're with us. Someone pulls you to one side and they go, look, I need you.
The name's Shorty.
No.
All right.
No, Shorty's in prison.
Fine.
You're the prison guard, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They come over and they say, look, I need you to go to the shower block and there's a tunnel underneath and I'm going to need you to pass some things down next week. Okay? So, that's happened.
What, that's it? That's all you're giving me?
So far.
Okay, who the hell are you?
Okay.
What are you talking about?
You don't need to know who I am. I'm just telling you, you have to do this.
And what if I don't?
Okay, well, no, I mean, you don't have to say yes, but tell me how Hayley is.
She's good.
Good. Does she still ride a Victoria Pendleton bike down the park every single day?
Maybe. Mm. Mm. Yeah.
I'll pop back tomorrow. But no!
This is simple as that.
It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Well-connected people.
And isn't that...
And confidence, isn't it? It's just the, we will get away with this. We will do it. We will, everyone under our thumb, scaremongering and the confidence to carry it off. That is quite scary. Would you do this? I assume we'd probably all do the same.
It's exactly the same thing as like going back to like the Hitler Youth, isn't it? It's like you live in a society...
Which is actually where we all met many years ago.
It's how we all know each other.
But you live in a society where certain things seem the norm.
Mm.
And... around that, lots of nice things happen. You know, we look at this from afar, being like, oh, this guy's killing people and he's ruthless. I bet he's having some great pool parties. Do you know what I mean? I bet they're all getting great tips at the end of the day. People love working for him. He's probably really good to his workforce. He probably looks after a lot of people and their families. Mm. And you go, actually, what side of the fence do I want to be here?
Well, you know... I think the thing is, I don't know how bad it's got. I think in this country, I would take the gamble there of agreeing to that man in the pub, but then going to my sergeant or my whatever back at the police station and saying, look, I've been approached by this guy. I suggest we perhaps cooperate, but also at the same time, call their bluff and we know exactly what's going on at all costs. So I will play along. I will, you know... hand stuff down the thing, but I'm going to let you guys fully aware of what's going on.
So they catch him in the shower going down the tunnel.
But
brilliant.
It's nothing to do with me. But it's not my fault.
You're in the bar the next week, the guy turns up.
It's not my fault. Well, I did my bit.
I don't care. I don't care. It didn't work and we're all going to be punished. I'm going to be punished, so you're going to be punished.
Okay.
But that...
Maybe. Have they caught this guy now, though?
No,
he's still on the run.
Oh, he's still... Sorry, yeah. I thought they'd...
No.
As of us speaking now, he's still on the run.
And 18 policemen and...
What I love is the last time that he was caught, you'd think that once you escape from prison, do you know what I mean? Like, you're nervous, aren't you? Like, you go to some kind of underground lair somewhere. He was caught in one of the most popular beach resorts in Mexico.
Just having a whale of a time. They all show off at some point, don't they? That's why they love the attention, because you never guess where I escape from. Someone blabs, don't they? That's how it all happens.
Yeah, that drunk conversation in a bar.
You'll never guess where I've been.
Dance on the floor. Gallant and Cy Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
Birthday to Harrison Ford today.
How old is he? He's older than we think, isn't he? He's quite an old guy now.
1942 he was born.
42, so that's 58. It's
So he's 73.
Yeah. And just his plane crashed last month. He landed on a golf course when the engine...
I know. Was that almost a year ago?
No, it was a few months ago.
Oh, was it? I thought it was longer ago than that. I remember him crashing earlier
in the year, yeah.
Indiana Jones was always a real favourite of mine as a kid. It was probably one of the most scary or graphic films that my parents would actually let me watch for some reason. And even though I did watch all the Bond films, especially they used to do it on Wednesday nights, the Bond films, they used to play one after the other, week after week, I'd still always... If I had to be one, I'd rather be Indiana Jones. I think it's cooler than Bond.
I think your parents let you watch it because he was a good guy, defeating the... But do you know what I mean?
Bond is a bit of an idiot.
It was a safe bet. You knew that it was always going to end with a good moral story. Mm. But they're now looking for a new Harrison Ford. Hollywood are actually... I've put an advert out saying we're looking for the next Harrison Ford because Disney-owned Lucasfilm, which makes Star Wars, have announced they're going to do a standalone Star Wars film that will tell the origin story for the Millennium Falcon pilot Han Solo, which was played by Harrison Ford. Right. So Harrison Ford, he was the unlikely hero in Star Wars. Mm. They're going to remake it and they want a new Harrison Ford. They've actually put it out there.
As if it's going to be a young Luke Skywalker, though. Han Solo, sorry.
Han Solo, yeah. So under 30, yeah.
So they're looking for someone between... You've got to look a bit like him.
Well, I think you've got to, you know...
Resemble
a bit of everything about Harrison Ford.
A bit like a son.
Yeah, look like a hero.
Yeah. I can't believe he's 73, though. He does look right.
I imagine they're not looking for wheezy people, Simon.
I wasn't thinking of applying, so that was a cheap shot if ever I've heard one. I mean, come off it. I'm going to apply for that. Jesus.
I imagine when they remake the scene where the ball's rolling behind halfway down you go.
Get an inhaler.
Inhaler. Stop.
Yeah. Fair enough.
It cuts to, because the ball's rolling, it's rolling. And they do that clever thing in the film where the music's going, the sound of the ball, the sound of the footsteps, his panting. But then it cuts to the outside of the cave as it shuts and it's just silent.
Mm.
And the door shuts. And that's the moment where you see him roll underneath. But in your film, the door just shuts.
That's the end of it.
That's it.
5 minutes in, and then he's dead.
That'd make a great TV advert, wouldn't it?
Great for what?
Shuts. Should have brought your inhaler.
I mean, inhaler's not a brand, it's not a product for, like, you know, just consumer. It's not a chocolate bar, is it?
Should have. Just door shuts. No one comes out the other side. Always keep your inhaler on you.
NHS.
Yeah. Actually, another film I saw was Terminator. The new Terminator last week. I think if they'd made a terrible remake of Terminator, I still would have enjoyed it because it's so nostalgic for me.
Well, there's a little bit of that within the Jurassic Park movie. It's not like, you know, it's the best script that's ever landed on someone's desk, but it's part of the Jurassic Park saga, isn't it? So people love it. They want to see it.
But I was really surprised of how good it was. Like, as a standalone movie, that would have been great.
Really?
Yeah, it was up there with... I mean, a lot of people complained that it was too complicated to follow. There were timelines that were reminiscent of Interstellar.
Right, and that was quite complex.
Yeah, people, like, daughters becoming their fathers and realising that actually their cousin and different time zones and how to stop that happening by going back. And that is quite intense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was genuinely laugh-out-loud funny in parts and really emotional in others. And there's a scene in the beginning when Arnold Schwarzenegger fights his former character. So they must have CGI'd it.
Mm.
There's him as...
Really?
Yeah, it's him as an older Arnold Schwarzenegger fighting him as a younger.
How?
I don't know how they did it. It was so clever. Yeah. This brutal fight scene.
Is it a replica fight scene of before?
No.
So, how?
They
how?
Somehow, well, CGI have recreated him.
It's freaky, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, really, really freaky. But he is laugh out loud funny in it.
Apparently, the meerkats in the Compare the Meerkat advert with Arnold Schwarzenegger, they're not real either.
What?
They're not real.
Meerkats don't?
No, they don't speak. That is.
Do you know what,
it was a real golf buggy that they're in, though.
Where
that
does it start
real.
And where does it stop these
days? The lines are blurred, as Robin Thicke said. Lines are blurred these days.
The weird thing, I saw him in an interview, and he said that he wanted, in one of the fight scenes, they're in the hospital and they get, like, knocked through loads of walls. And he said, they're like, oh, we'll just CGI it, mate. And he goes, no, 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 I want us to actually be thrown through. And they're like, no, CGI it, mate. We've got computers now, haven't we?
Mm.
And he put up the money for that scene.
No way.
Millions of quid for just one scene. Because he wanted
Imagine if you did that wrong.
Because he wanted it to be done properly.
But the budgets are so big now that it's like with the new Star Wars movies. They're not just CG, they're building the ships. They are real ships that they're boarding. They are actually going onto a ship. They are building them.
Do you need that, though? It's like that idea we were talking the other day about, you know, the method acting of Dustin Hoffman running a marathon to come into the scene, actually doing it in real life.
Yeah.
Do you need a real spaceship? If the actors are good enough, can't they do it in a green?
You're supposed to act as if you have.
That is the definition of acting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if most people will have done it with just like a crappy Tippex-ridden pen in GCSE drama, like Tippex like chair, wouldn't they? Like that's all you get to act with when you're at school. When you're at drama classes, you just literally have an open space.
I remember.
So to demand, oh, we need to build a real starship here for me to in order to act out this scene.
I remember doing A-level drama.
I did A-level drama as well.
And it panned out well for us, as you can see. And do you know, I can't even remember what the play was. It was about a school caretaker. And in one scene, I played the caretaker. I had like an earring and like I was like, meant to be like quite a cool, like gruff sort of caretaker. And in one of the scenes in the script, he like gropes one of the girls.
What, a student?
Yeah.
Like an underage student.
I can't remember whether she was another teacher or I can't remember, but all I remember having to like...
Fondle
someone's breasts. Oh, like, no. That was the thing in the scene.
It seems at A-levels, everyone gets so antsy and they start doing scripts way beyond their years.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, too controversial. Right. And you're performing it in front of, like, literally your parents and that's it.
Based on that... Because everyone's like, well, we're definitely not putting that in.
Mm.
And then based on that argument, simply because Felicity Cantwell was very busty... All right.
Yeah.
I argued somehow successfully.
We should do this.
That we should do it.
That's
because it was.
Ridiculous.
I was like, no.
This is vital for my character's development in the play.
This is it. I tried. I was like, we are all mature enough to fondle each other's breasts.
We are as mature as her breasts.
What do you mean? And then she was going, you just want to touch my... And I was like, I am becoming a role, Felicity.
I don't, but my character does. That's where you're...
But like...
Again, as Robin Thicke said, the lines are blurred.
In hindsight, if only I was less obsessed with breasts at that age and was able to foresee the evening of the performance and her family being there.
Oh, I know, yeah. That's always the case.
Right. So imagine this, like we do it, and she was like, right, fine, I'm doing it, but we're not doing it in rehearsals.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair enough.
And I thought, oh, go on, I'll take that. So...
Save it for the big day.
So the night comes, and it's like 6 o'clock in the evening, but they black out the room. It's one of those like awful drama studios, like thrown together. Like those black.
I think it's Stephen Merchant who does a really good. It is a stand-up show. He does a really good joke about GCSE drama, where they only have chairs as props. All the lights go out, and you just hear the chairs ruffle around like ridiculously, like the legs. The lights come back up, and the chairs have stayed in the same place.
That's literally what it was, right? And they had that awful like black tarpaulin to black out the windows. There's tape all over the floor from previous things. Some shanty lights on it. Same thing. Muffled things. Lights go out. And do you remember I used to love the excitement of being at school after school, like with the girls. Like it was an exciting time, wasn't it? People were dating, people were going on.
Yeah.
All very excited about the performance, very, very nervous. And I said to the beforehand, I was like, oh, good luck, everyone. And Felicity came up to me before and she was like, don't go overboard on the groping, all right? I'm like, no. It'll be fine. She's like, I don't think we should do it. I'm like, we should
do it. Were your parents there?
Yeah, my parents were there, but I was so obsessed.
Your dad, go on, son!
You know, at that point, nothing could have, like, deterred me from... Bear in mind...
Were you nervous about it?
No, I'd been thinking about touching them for 5 weeks. By this point, it was like I was ready.
Right, sure. This is a bit weird, but go on.
But every 17-year-old boy... Yeah. So... The performance happens, and it's quite late in the performance. This happens, but what I didn't sort of what I didn't forecast was her disabled grandmother that had to be...
Oh, no.
Of course, what do they do with someone in a wheelchair? They wheel
right
them to the
front. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And halfway through the performance, I clocked this and I could see her dad, her brother, her disabled grandmother, her mother, all on the front row. Okay. And I had this dilemma.
I bet you... Surely you could just grope, like, her hips or something, sort of neutral.
I know, but I wanted to grope her, Simon. This is the problem.
I know, but surely for the sake of it, just grope, you know, if the character had to grope, grope the hips or a neutral...
You're talking in your rational, full-time relationship where you can touch Hayley's breasts as much as you want. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Lovely.
At a ripe old age of 26, in hindsight, Simon, yes, with a rational mindset... But I've got one opportunity to touch Felicity Campwell's breasts, all right? And do I let that pass?
What did you do?
Because the worst thing about that is once it's done, you're like, yeah, it was good, but like, I'm over it.
What did you do?
I went for it.
You went for
it? I went for it.
What did she say after? Was she like, yeah, it was all right?
Well, like in the play, she slaps me.
Oh, so she put it as a real really, harder than usual.
It really.
You just started crying and couldn't help it.
Well, the idea was it was a bit of a rough and, but I got a squeeze in and there was the.
So it wasn't too bad.
No,
it wasn't like slow and slimy. It was more of a like woo.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Yeah, I think that's easier to watch.
And I remember afterwards, like, everyone, like, you know, like the sort of angsty excitement of, like, pulling
your
out.
Mates in the...
The family way. Come over. Like, the dad goes around, like, well done, guys. Just looks at me, walks straight past me and walks out.
So, well done, mate. You made a good call.
Those were the days. Mm-hmm. That was the day of my teenage life. So it's been the road, let's say, for 9.5 years. It's travelled 3 billion miles through our solar system.
3 billion miles in 9 years?
Yeah.
Jeez, how fast is it going? Work that out.
Well, I haven't got time, Simon. so it's been travelling. It's now going to fly within 8,000 kilometres. Of Pluto.
That is close.
Which means we will now have visited every single planet in our solar system to match.
Does that count as visiting, being 8,000 kilometres away?
That's really close. That's ridiculously close.
Could I claim to have gone to, you know, Berlin, even though I haven't, because it's less than 8,000
kilometres? Well, no, I think when we're thinking about the how infinite space is and how large it is, that is very close, because it's close enough to get the photographs we need.
I assume it's decked with cameras then.
Yeah, it's decked with cameras. It's going to take lots of photos. It will take quite a long time to stream everything back. It's quite a long way away now. The signal's not great. So it could, you know, it's going to photograph it. I love the idea of imagine if it did photograph, like, a family. So imagine if there was...
A family.
Well, you know, like, imagine if there was, like, life on there.
Yeah.
It'd be the same as finding,
sure,
like...
It's highly unlikely, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, really, really unlikely. Like, at best, we're hoping for, you know... It's like that asteroid. They think they found the possibility of life on there, but they forgot to put...
Water or something?
Yeah, you know, like, sort of bacteria and stuff like that were the source of it. But someone forgot to put the life probe on it to check it.
Really?
Yeah, like when they did the budgets and went, should we put the life probe on? Nah, it's an asteroid, mate. Yeah, there's one scientist going, yeah, but I think it might... Nah. Another like, oh, I wish I put that on. But if they saw something now, what would we do?
I don't know. It's
so far away. It'd be like, you know, when you see a spider.
Yeah,
and then you turn around and it's gone. There's nothing you can do.
It'd be so interesting to see if they bring back anything they didn't already know. But it's already been demoted, hasn't it, Pluto? It's less highly regarded.
Yeah, people call it a world now rather than a planet.
Oh, do they? Yeah. A world? Mm. Pluto world?
Pluto world sounds like a theme.
It does. Sounds like Disney.
New Pluto world. What goes on there? Not a lot, really. It's just really cold.
Yeah, it's just awfully cold. You can't breathe there.
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
Radio.
This is FUBAR. Ollie Seb and Simon here, and we like to take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. A little while ago, we did common misconceptions.
I stumbled across a gold mine, and because of the overwhelming lack of response, I thought I'd revisit it.
Yeah.
actually, I want to start at this point. We were talking off air a few moments ago about ailments and problems. I've got asthma. Ollie's gluten free, although that's not really the same. But
well, it's
not.
I'd rather be asthmatic than gluten intolerant.
Are you joking?
No, definitely.
Ah, oh, that classic debate. many a pub
actually,
evening
Seb,
spent doing that.
You're a perfect judge of this. Who would you rather be gluten free?
Right. No, but bear in mind, like, you can never eat a pizza. You can never eat like
a gluten free pizza.
No, but it's not the same because I'm not.
Well, no,
I've got
gluten
more
free. I said gluten free.
No, but I've got more than gluten intolerance.
It doesn't matter. My conundrum is
no. Basically, my diet, Seb, that restrictive, the rest of your life, or occasionally you get a bit wheezy, and you don't even do any exercise anyway.
I've been hospitalised twice. Carry on.
It's a really, really tough draw, but I'd rather you had it than me, to be honest with you.
No, but what would you rather have if they said you have to walk out of this room, you die now or walk out of the room with one of our problems? What would you have?
I really like food, so I'd probably go for asthma.
Such a dick. Anyway, when we were talking about that, we were saying that actually one thing, you've got a bit of short-sightedness.
No, I haven't.
Are you long-sighted?
No, it's complicated. I can
cross-eyed.
Do both.
Oh, cross-eyed, lazy-eyed.
Sorry, fine.
I can do both.
Whilst we were doing that, Ollie said that a very famous phrase. Ollie said,
I don't even remember what this was.
Of course you don't.
No.
But Ollie said, "Oh, Seb, you're as blind as a bat."
I did, yeah.
Common phrase.
Yeah.
I've since learnt that not a single bat is blind at all.
What?
That phrase comes from nowhere. But I did actually learn this. They use something called echolocation. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah,
sonar, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like, so clever. Yeah. So vibrations bouncing off walls, they can judge how far.
Yeah,
so that's how they use that to navigate.
That's where sonar comes on. That's the equivalent of it, isn't it?
Exactly.
Have I showed you my bat trick?
Your bat trick?
Yeah. No. So you know, I can get a bat to land next to me. It's like my party trick.
I literally have never seen this.
Where are you hosting your party?
I've known you for 6 years. Have I never done
the bat trick?
No.
So
of course you've never done the bat trick. Yeah. You're making this up.
No, I'm genuinely not.
The bat trick.
Yeah. So,
are you just...
No. I'll explain. So it's not bollocks.
You've never done this.
Right, well, I'll do it next time we're at dusk together.
The bat trick.
So obviously it needs to be dusk when the bats come
right,
out.
Yes, yeah. And you're in a belfry slash cave.
and what
basically, you hang upside down in the cave, and there you go. Yeah. Bats are just next
what
to
you do is you get some small pebbles or stones in your hand,
right,
and you wait for the bat to fly over, and if you throw...
Wait a minute, sorry, you're just waiting for a bat to...
Well, no, as long as they're flying in the near vicinity, that's fine.
Oh, right, okay.
And
how convenient. You made it sound like you were magicking one out of thin air.
No. But listen, and what you do is you throw a pebble up in the air, and they don't see it, but their sonar picks it up and thinks it's an insect, and they'll dive for it, and you can get them to land near you. It is quite remarkable.
Yeah?
It takes a few goes.
Are you just throwing stones at bats and just trying to hit them out of the sky?
This is becoming less and less impressive the more you go on.
To be fair, it is quite embarrassing when it doesn't work.
Which I imagine is nearly all the time.
No, it does work some of the time.
Especially that time you tried it indoors.
What parties are you hosting in the vicinity of bats as well?
You always get bats inside.
Yeah, those parties around Ozzy Osbourne's house, those. Anyway, so no bats are blind. They all have eyes. They have actually quite good eyesight. All really good night vision as well.
Oh.
No. And this is true. Most people think that the saying blind as bat comes because they just look for an alliterative animal, and bat is a very short word. You're as blind as a bat. That is literally all we have when it comes to making that phrase.
Okay, I quite like that one. Good pub ammo.
Here's a good question. Where does the word crap come from?
I know.
Oh, well, I'll go on.
The Thomas Crapper.
You're full of it.
Thomas Crapper.
Thomas Crapper, who...
He made the toilet with the...
invented the flushing toilet, didn't he?
...cistern on it, yeah. And...
That is a load of crap, I'm afraid. That is not true. That's just a happy coincidence.
Is it?
Yep. because the word crap was being used for hundreds of years before Thomas Crapper came along. Crapper, which is spelt C-R-A-P-P-A,
right,
is the Latin word for a chaff, so like grain, that humans can't digest at all. It just sits on our stomach, makes us feel like shit.
Mm.
And
you're crapper intolerant,
aren't
you?
That is where crap came from. And the Thomas Crapper thing is just a really happy coincidence.
Great
despite
fact.
Everyone that saying great. That Thomas Crapper, yeah, comes from that. What colour is the sun?
Fire.
Yellow, Simon.
Sorry. What colour is the sun? Fire. I don't know what.
Well, it's just a flame, isn't it? It's just a big ball of flaming gas.
Sorry, did you understand the question? What colour is the sun?
No, I know, but what I'm saying is like, that's like saying what colour is fire? It's lots of different colours, isn't it? It's right. Reds and blues.
Well,
and
he didn't do his colours at school, but he can make a bat land next to him.
Obviously, it's impossible, but if you were right next to the sun, it would only appear to be one colour.
White.
Red.
Correct, Seb. Jet white, if that's a phrase.
No, it's not. It's jet black.
And it comes up as 0.03 on the Dulux colour chart. That's what the dog said, isn't it? What else we got here? These are great. What can you see from space when looking back at the Earth?
The atmosphere.
So what can you...
On the Earth, if you're in space, what could you see on the Earth? What sort of things could you...
Probably nothing.
You could see
probably couldn't see it.
Sorry?
Say again.
So if you're in space, you're looking back at Earth.
Right. Where am I in space? Like near the Earth? On the moon?
Not on the moon, just in space. So
far away am I from the Earth? Because if I'm out in the Milky Way, I can't see it. It's just a cluster.
No. Not that far. Right. We're talking like where the space station is, when the International Space Station
is. Right, okay.
Is.
I can see that. Well, I can see the outline of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. What about on the Earth?
Probably see some of the water and a bit of land.
And the Great Wall of China.
There we go. That's what I was waiting for you to say. You knew it. We all knew you wanted to say it.
I know. It's like this show scripted. Cue Simon.
Yeah. No, that is absolute hokum.
Is it?
Yeah. You can't see the Great Wall of China. I always thought that. Because I was really disappointed when I read it, because I always imagined that one of the first things you'd do if you went out of space was if you were going to the side of the Earth where China was, you'd be able to pinpoint where the Wall of China is, but you can't at all.
I follow some of the astronauts on the space station because they can now tweet, which is mad. And one of the guys, Chris...
Yeah, they've got Wi-Fi on the International Space Station.
Right.
Yeah.
And they fly over...
It's the only time where, when they really want signal, they reach down.
But they fly over...
They don't stand on chairs, they go under them.
But they tweet all the time seeing things on Earth, but I'm assuming they're using a reasonably powerful lens.
Oh, they must be. You can't see anything. And it says that the only stuff you can see is if you're on the side of the moon that is dark, collective power of streetlights will give the sort of like the flashes of, especially around major cities, you might be able to see like a bit of brightness coming from that, but no objects, nothing at all.
Oh.
Unlucky Seb. What colour are your veins?
Red.
Blue.
One of you's right.
Red.
Yeah, it is red. There's no blue at all. Apparently that is a combination of light. Most light, including the sun here, despite it being white, which you've just learnt, comes across as yellow. And then the...
Because I heard a rumour that your blood is blue until it mixes with oxygen.
Yeah.
Mm. Hemoglobin.
So is that
it red? But your veins are red.
But your blood is blue.
No, you never see to the naked eye your blood being blue at any point. But your veins, none of them are blue whatsoever. That is just a combination of the light.
But if the
light scattering and your skin complexion, coupled with the fact that it's sort of a cherry red of your actual blood, makes it appear blue through the surface.
No.
But nothing blue about it, which is odd when you look at it. If anyone walked in here now, everyone's
it
just
looks
like...
It looks like
we're all checking our muscles out. Yeah.
It all looks like we're about to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Which vein would I...
Where are we injecting today?
Oh,
This is Fubar, as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. Ollie Seven Simon here. Simon's been looking at some common misconceptions today. Mm. I've learned that the saying blind as a bat is just rubbish. Bats can see perfectly well. They just actually have a better ears.
Yeah, really good night vision, but all bats can see well.
It's just odd. All blacks can see well.
No,
they can't. They have the same vision.
Yeah, yes, obviously.
What about Stevie Wonder?
No, obviously that's a bad example. That is a bad example. Anyway, I've got some more here for you.
Mm.
What happens if you eat chewing gum?
Oh, yeah, if you swallow it. They always said it gets stuck in your...
Yeah, stays in your system for like five years.
8 years. I love that
8 years.
That you would say that on a day-to-day basis, but now that we're doing this, yeah. I can see, as you're saying it, you know you're talking rubbish.
I know, I'm still saying it, though.
it's just no truth in it whatsoever. It passes through your system in a normal amount of time, like all other food.
It gets broken down, does it?
Actually, I think 90% of it is indigestible. But it will still pass through your system in the normal amount of time. It won't get, maybe if you were to eat well, like anything.
Yeah, that's still quite a horrible thought to think it just doesn't break down and it will.
But a lot of things do that, like sweet corn and various grains do that. Crapper, yeah. But chewing gum will just be flushed out 7 years. I don't know where.
Yeah, I was always told
who
that.
Decided?
It's something you tell kids, isn't it? Probably parents.
Who decided that? And how has literally generations of people followed that myth? I don't know how these things happen.
Massive Chinese whispers.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it?
They did the same about the wall.
Yeah. Did you ever have those annoying friends or students in your class?
Still got them.
Yeah. That were always really good at exams. And you were pissed off because you always thought, oh, how do they always do so well?
No, that was me.
Yeah, no. So, you're at school and everyone, you've got those annoying students that are always really good at exams. Even the ones that, and these are the worst ones, that appear not to have revised at all.
Right.
Yet they still get really good grades. What is often said of them, by teachers, maybe even friends and family or other people in the class?
They're more gifted, live with it.
What a dick.
That was said a lot.
Yeah.
What was said about them?
Memory. Probably good memory. Good short-term memory.
Oh.
Good retention.
Memory like an elephant.
I've literally never heard that phrase before.
Goldfish.
They've got good memories. Well remembered, Sam. Goldfish do have good memories. No, you might have heard the phrase, they've got a good photographic memory.
Yeah.
You heard that phrase a lot? Or an eidetic memory?
Not as much.
I had a maths teacher that had a photographic memory.
Exactly, phrases like that. You just said it then.
There's no such thing as a photographic memory?
No such thing. No scientific experiment has ever concluded that there is such thing as a photographic memory.
Yeah, but it's like...
Has it concluded that there's not such a thing?
No, but I don't think...
It's never found any proof of
But not disproved.
No.
But we're not saying that they've got like a photo album up there. We're just saying they've got a fantastic... It's a saying for a fantastic memory. Like Stephen Fry says, if I was to look at a textbook page, it would be with me for the rest of my life.
Stephen Fry?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've also read his autobiography, and in that he said he's read whole books and he can't remember what any of them were about.
I was listening to him on Desert Island Discs, and she said, do you retain... You're renowned for retaining all of that information. He said, I could have read a physics textbook page when I was 14 and I would still be able to tell you. Mm. I just think that's not fair.
I know.
I could have read it 3 minutes ago, gone.
But it's the way that they sort of compartmentalise learning. And actually, it's more similar. What we're referring to, photographic memory, is just basically the wrong phrase. A lot of people... And you can't blame them, just literally think it's the idea of taking a virtual snapshot and then referring back to it later. Hmm. So getting a textbook, going and then just literally being able to recall that like a photo
like
and read it in your mind.
It. Yeah.
But actually it's more similar to the Sherlock Holmes thing. The idea of having a mind back, the idea of filing away information, the idea of
an
having
association.
Almost like a biography. So it's like if you wrote a biography of your life, you'd probably only remember a certain amount of occasions and it would be 500 pages long. But some people can literally retell everything they've ever done, therefore ever learnt, and recall it as part of their big mind palace.
I now have to do that with names because I'm famously bad for, when we're interviewing people. before the interview, I'll go, so yeah, what's your name? Brilliant. Okay, Jacob. Great, fantastic, Jacob. This is FUBAR. We're joined today by
Shane.
And I will,
yeah, yeah,
in a matter You're of seconds, dreadful. Forget that. So I've had to start to do association, and it does help me. So she was like, Jane, for some reason in my brain, Jane Fonda would come up, and I'd have to say to myself, fondue.
What?
Yeah.
Fondue?
No, no. But then...
A lovely fondue.
But then as soon as I start the interview, and of course I've forgotten her name again, I'll remember fondue, and I'll be like, why fondue? And then I'll be like, oh, Fonda. Oh, Jane Fonda. We're joined by Jane. And that's literally how I have to get
that
by.
That is mad.
I know.
That is really mad.
But it is a similar
why
thing.
Why don't you just write it down?
Yeah, but if you're just, you know, stood up with someone...
I do it in conversation with someone. Like, someone... Literally, I could be chatting to somebody at, like, a function. Like, oh, yeah, I'm Mike. And then someone will come over and I go, oh, the... You guys should... And hope that they start to introduce themselves.
Yeah, I can read you doing that, Mike. I've been in whole interviews with him before when he's told some, he's been calling someone the wrong name. And I can't just go, oh, that's actually... That's Sarah. That's not Jane. You're a nightmare. Okay, lastly then.
All right, last one.
What fruit did Adam and Eve famously devour?
Well, hold on. What are we doing here? Are we saying Adam and Eve existed for the...
No. So in... No, of course we're not. Right. In the Bible, what does it say that they consumed when it was poisoned? And...
I think Eve consumed sausage. If I recollect.
Right, yeah. Is that... What version of the...
I've got confused. That's a VHS I've got at home.
Was that the film Lady Garden of Eden? Was that the...
Yeah, no, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I have got confused there.
It never specifies, Simon, what they eat.
Correct, sir.
Well, I thought they chopped down a big old apple.
No. That is absolutely correct. At no point does it ever say apple in it. It is referred to as the forbidden fruit. But at no point do they say apple. And in fact, all over the world, depending on what basically is the most popular fruit in your country. So,
really?
For example, to school in England, in England, apples, they're very popular. They would just depict in cartoons, in films, in pictures, an apple that they were eating. All over the world, that fruit literally changes depending on the most popular fruit in that country.
I thought you were trying to imply that it doesn't say what the fruit is, forbidden fruit, as if it's a bit of a euphemism. Oh, a bit of the forbidden fruit.
Yeah, well, it could be. I mean, if that's your interpretation, Noel, I'd love to see you debate that.
If you actually really start to think about it, Adam and Eve, both completely naked, got into trouble after a bit of the forbidden fruit. Let's think about that.
Can you Adam and Eve it?
Ollie Gallant and Si Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
Purple rain.
This is FUBAR. Ollie Seven Simon here. We like to take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. We also love to play a little game of Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo!
Everyone is spending time on YouTube these days trying to teach themselves new things. I plumbed a dishwasher last week.
Using YouTube?
YouTube was a big help.
They are always American.
A lot of the
dishwashers?
Yeah. No, the instructional videos. And they're always oddly cheesy. Like, even though they're homemade, you know, they're not like an old 90s advert.
Insert it's still 2015. The nozzle into the filter.
It's literally like, yeah. I don't know why that's the case. But
You've got your bell ready. These two love it because it's
really satisfying.
In radio, most of the time, things are just on digital hotkeys now. But
yeah,
we've
pressed buttons,
real...
but this is a genuine bell. It's really satisfying.
One of my friends is on the Archers, the well-known Radio 4 programme.
Wigsy.
Wigsy plays a character. And... I was just chatting to him about it, and it was just really funny because I said, so what's it like in the studio? It must be weird recording it without any of the sound effects, because when we all listen to The Archers, you hear the farm.
I've never listened to it.
I've
ever
never
before.
Listened to The Archers. And,
he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, obviously, like you know, with the you just plumb all the." He's like,
"No, they
no,
do
no,
it.
No, we do all the sounds live."
Yeah,
I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, yes.
They act it out.
Yeah, so there's like, there's gravel. I walk across the farmyard. He's like, it's to the point where I'm driving a car, we've got a little steering wheel.
Yeah.
I'm like, why have you got, he's like, I don't know.
Helps you get into character, I guess.
Method acting.
Maybe sure that's their job. Make a radio show.
I think it was Laurence Olivier. I sound so pretentious doing this. I think it was Laurence Olivier that really felt somebody had to act out of breath to do a scene with him. And they ran like a 10K. And then went on to the film set to do...
It was like Dustin Hoffman in...
He actually ran a marathon.
Yeah, ran a marathon, yeah.
Or was Laurence Olivier in that?
I don't know.
Anyway, he famously said when they walked in, just like, you should be able to act. Like, any actor should be able to pretend to be out of breath.
Yeah.
Like,
but you imagine Dustin Hoffman doing that? Being like, oh, method acting. And he goes off. And they all have to sit... The whole crew are there for 4 hours. Go off. Is he? He's a bit slowed up a bit. Right, well, we better get this in one shot when he gets...
I know, imagine that, the outtakes. Oh, no. I'm going to have to go again.
Comes, it trips over. You fucked it, haven't you? You've absolutely fucked it.
We're going to have to do this again tomorrow.
All right, then, here we go.
From Laurence Olivier to Yoo-hoo.
Little game of Yoo-hoo, then. I have... 4 clips for you, all taken from YouTube. They're instructional videos. It is simple. Seven Simon head-to-head. You just need to work out what they're trying to teach you, okay?
Yeah.
Simple as that. How are you feeling? So are you feeling confident?
I haven't been doing brilliant over the last few weeks of this.
We
but,
will
yeah.
kick off with clip number one. Everyone's learning things on YouTube, but what are they teaching you here?
I'm using my hands because it's much easier and faster. And so you can do this. The next skin can be taken down just like that and left like that.
The next skin?
Any ideas what they're teaching you there? Simon.
Making sausages?
Is. Incorrect. Sebastian.
Can I hear it again?
Yep, you certainly can.
I'm using my hands because it's much easier and faster. And so you can do this. The next skin can be taken down just like that and left like that.
Okay. Any ideas there, Sebby?
Making a drum.
Oh!
That's not a bad
guess. That's a really outside of the box.
It's incorrect. It was, in fact, stuffing a turkey.
For Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving.
All right,
okay. Any ideas what they're teaching you to do here?
He doesn't like to get his head wet at all, and I know that about him. All summer long, my dogs do a little bit of exfoliating to get the dead skin off.
Washing a dog.
Is... correct. That was, of course, teaching you how to wash your
own
dog.
That was very obvious.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't press the bell, did you?
I thought there's got to be a catch to this, because it literally says, keep the dog's head out of the water and make sure you exfoliate his...
Seb streaks into the lead there, doesn't he? Number 3, what are they trying to teach you here?
I could still swing that baby up, right? I could still do it, and you can push it straight up, right? And you can engage your leg.
What are they trying to teach you? Do you want to hear that one more time?
I could still... swing that baby up, right? I could still do it, and you can push it straight up, right? And you can engage your leg.
Going on the swinging baby thing, is it how to do an impression of Michael Jackson?
Is incorrect. Simon, do you want to hear it one more time?
Go on.
I could still swing that baby up, right? I could still do it, and you can push it straight up, right? And you can engage your leg.
Engage your leg? Is that what he says there?
Yeah.
Engage your leg, swing the baby. I don't think he's talking about a baby as in like a human baby.
I don't think he is.
Oh, engage your leg. This is so hard. And is it teaching you how to push someone on a swing?
That's not a bad guess.
He didn't ring in.
It's incorrect. It was how to lift a weight. A guy teaching how to weight lift there.
I could still...
Ooh. Are you supposed to swing?
Swing
that's not
that
a very efficient
baby
lift.
Up, right? I could still do it. And you can push it straight up, right? And you can engage your leg.
Okay, all right then. Seb in the lead with 1 point at the moment. Listen carefully. What are they trying to teach you on YouTube here?
First, wash your hands. Hold them both hands and twist the two halves apart. Use a spoon to scoop to remove.
Okay.
I know.
Oh! Simon!
Well, you might pull me up on which it is. But if it's doing that ocean, I think it's avocado.
Is correct.
Because you twist it around the stone.
Okay. All right. One all, final decider. You got to be quick on the buzzers here, okay?
Okay, here we go. This is it.
Okay, here we go. We're all learning things on YouTube, but what are they teaching you here?
I'm just going to put my hand on its head. Got to come from behind. Fork it.
Did he say fork?
Right.
Oh, God.
What was he
listening
to?
Do it again.
Again.
I'm just going to put my hand on its head. Got to come from behind. Fork it.
Coming from behind and forking it.
It's his voice doesn't help there because he sounds so sinister, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Put your hand on its head. Come on. Wait. I was trying to think. This has got to be some sort of food or... It's head, though.
Well, food's not a lie.
Oh.
Or...
Simon.
Is it or treating or deboning or scaling a fish?
Is.
Can you play it again?
One more time.
I'm just going to put my hand on its head. Got to come from behind. Fork it.
Oh, it sounds just put my hand on his head.
For the win, sir.
Is it killing an animal of some description?
Is.
What
incorrect.
Is
we end on a draw today.
What
it was
that?
How to catch a snake.
I'm just going to put my hand on its head. Got to come from behind. Fork it.
And that's what they do. They fork the head. Yeah, they have something that separates over the head.
Yeah, so that they don't... Do. So, well, captures it, doesn't kill it.
Yeah.
That's
it. Catching a snake. Of course, everyone needs to know that one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, who's Googling that?
That was a good one.
I do have one more here, and I'm not sure we've done it before. If you want us another go.
Yeah, all right.
But I think I might have done this clip. I can't remember if we've done this before.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Any ideas what this is?
First thing I want you to do is relax. Let's start off by having your package already opened. Use your non-dominant hand. I'm going to slide my fingers in.
Any ideas what she's trying to teach you?
My non-dominant hand.
Okay, what would you use your non-dominant hand for, Seb?
Say it again. Was it
something
about
your package?
It's something about a package open. Do it again.
First thing I want you to do is relax. Let's start off by having your package already opened. Use your non-dominant hand. I'm going to slide my fingers in.
Okay, Seb looks like he could be onto something there.
No, I was just acting it out.
I try and do that. I try and like do what they're describing. It's so hard.
I know. It's a bit like being on The Archers.
Okay, I'm going to have to push you for an answer here.
Non-dominant hand. Why wouldn't you want your dominant hand? To get something to slide your hand in to a package. I'm sliding it in. Just tap it in.
Okay, I'm going to give you 10 seconds for someone to hit the buzzer here.
What comes in a package? Unwrapping a Christmas present. I don't know.
Is incorrect, Seb. Your
can
last
you play it
chance.
One more time?
One last time.
Jesus.
And then we're going to play a song. All right, really think about this.
I could still...
Oh, no, hold on. Oh, so no. Oh, that's the wait man again.
First thing I want you to do is relax. Let's start off by having your package already opened. Use your non-dominant hand. I'm going to slide my fingers in.
My fingers into it.
Okay,
I'm going
anyone.
To slide.
Seb. Yeah, all right. Don't need to ring the bell because we're waiting on you. Go on.
I don't know.
You don't know.
You're not going to have any guess?
How to eat from a packet of crisps.
Okay, well, I feel that's quite an anticlimactic finish today. Of course, it was incorrect. It was, of course, how to put a glove on. Obviously.
Oh, we have done that one before.
Oh, you do? On YouTube, trying to teach you how
you
to
do use that. Your non-dominant hand.
Yeah, you do.
To put it on.
All right. Thoroughly enjoyed that today. Well done. I'll give you one all at the end of it. We'll do it all again next week.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass. 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars. Drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory rests, but never forgets what I lost. Wake me up when September ends.
and Cy Alexander on FUBAR Radio.